Hey everybody, it's Eric from Barrel and Hatchet. Thank you for checking out another HatchetCast podcast. And we are a new channel, so make sure you guys subscribe to the channel, hit the notification bell, and we are going to be talking about all different types of topics. We do have two very special guests, and I'm going to let them do their introduction. So we'll start off with Chris.
Very special. That's a that's a very debated thing that you'll probably realize. Everyone will realize. Just my background. My background is actually in teaching. I was a school teacher for 10 years. I taught ancient history, civics, and U.S. history, and recently now I'm a gym manager. So I manage a gym. If you're looking for membership at a gym in the Lakeland area, it's Just Move Athletic Club of South Lakeland. So that's what I'm doing right now. So.
Oh, nice. Nice. And Jordan.
Wow. Well, I'm Jordan, jigging with Jordan on the internet, nice. On the old interwebs.
Celebrity.
Play with fish for fun. And it's the weirdest life, but yeah, I'm just having fun playing nice. On YouTube.
Awesome. Well, so one thing, we're going to be talking about all different types of stuff. And on this podcast, we kind of wanted it to be literally open for discussion about any type of topic. So the first thing that I wanted to bring up was the border. So, have you guys heard about what's going on with the border down south?
Just getting spicy with it right off the bat.
There we go.
Yeah, no walking into it whatsoever.
feet first, jumping in. What do you think about the border?
I have a little bit of a different take on it. So, I think that a lot of the controversy that's happening right now with Greg Abbott and the whole federal government ripping down the razor wire, right, is kind of the whole controversy of where all this started with Civil War and how that's trending with Civil War. I think that is meant to be a divisive point to cause civil war. And what I mean by that is literally you can walk 3 feet or however many feet down the line and you got large gaps in the wall. So the fact that they're arguing about razor wire and should the federal government be involved in taking it down, and I personally just don't trust Greg Abbott. Mm. He's been to the Davos Group. If people don't know what the Davos Group is, it's basically the meeting place for the New World Order, globalist leaders. So I think this is really a divisive point. This is meant to cause controversy. This is meant to cause division, and the media is propping it up when this has been a problem even before the federal government got involved, right?
Right.
So even if this is resolved, the border is still open. That's my point. There's large areas where you got just giant gaps where people can just walk through. So we're talking about this, and people are getting ramped up about civil war and what does Texas do? It's like we still haven't fixed the problem, right? The problem is we've got a open border where people are just still coming through regardless. So I think it's a little bit of a conspiracy. I think that Greg Abbott is being used as a pawn piece to cause more controversy so the media can spin it up, because I think that's what they want. They want civil war, right?
So he's just playing a role.
He's just playing a role, because a lot of what these leaders want is they want people fighting with each other. They want people divided so that they can come in and take more power, right? Mm-hmm. So I think if you have that end sight and end game in mind, you can kind of put the pieces together of what they're doing. So that's my opinion on it. I'm sure you guys have other opinions on it, but it's a little bit of a controversial opinion. But I understand not all the evidence is there, but it is something that's been kind of in the forefront of my mind.
I think Abbott's always been shady, but mm-hmm. all of a sudden we have him standing up supposedly against the border crossing, stand to the feds, and it's like, how do we forget about all the other shady stuff he's done? You know, corrupt things that he's done, rhino type things that he's done.
Yeah.
But because he's making the stand, it almost does feel set up in terms of like it's just a play.
Yeah. Like, why now? Like, the timing is always important. Like, they're spinning this up now in what? In an election year, right? This is where all this stuff kind of gets ramped up. And so I always look at the timing of things. You know, it's not a coincidence that. Oh, 2024 rolls around and all of a sudden we're talking about civil war right now. We're talking about World War III, right? Which is a whole different topic we're talking about. So all these things, especially during election years, come to a head. And again, they want the controversy. They want people fighting over something, whether it's gender, whether it's the border wall or the federal government versus Texas, right? So I think it's something that they always want people divided on.
Hmm. Have you been to Texas?
I have. I've been all through Texas.
Really?
I've been down south too. But bringing this up, it also reminds me of Florida. You know, we have a lot of people coming in by boats. A little bit different.
Yeah.
But I've got some buddies who are game wardens out there, and they went on. They have these big ships. Yeah. Everybody thinks game wardens just like green pants walking around in the woods, but they got like some serious stuff too.
Wow.
So, but the one of the stories I was told is, you know, they found, I think it was like it was a group of boats, but it was they got like 80 of these guys that were trying to cross, and they put them on their ship, but they just brought them back, gave them phones. Because I asked, I was like, "Well, what'd you do? You take them back?" And they're like, "No, like just brought them
back here."
Brought them back. Yeah, I was like, "Why? What? Why?" That feels. He was like, "I don't know. It's just, you know, what we're told to do. We the government issues them a phone, which I guess is how they." Which I heard, I don't know where I heard it exactly, probably honestly on another podcast, but that they're giving out phones in Texas too, which is what I was told is a means to keep in touch with these people or track them essentially. But it's the same thing, just different state, and but very quietly.
I don't understand that.
Super weird.
That's the thing that to me, it's almost like, is this neglect or not neglect, but is this idiocracy or is it sabotage? Like, is it sabotage by design? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I think it's sabotage by design. I mean, it's just, so it can only be incompetence or pre-planned,
right?
So it's gone on for so long where you can't chalk it up as just incompetence anymore. Like, to your point, I heard that they were giving them $3,000 for travel purposes because they have to get to their court date.
Oh, where's my $3,000,
hey,
bud?
There you go. There's an idea.
Let's go on a boat ride, Jordan.
Yeah, where's my $3,000? And that's the whole point. It's like a slap in the face to the American people. It's like there are people out there that can barely pay rent, you know, that can barely make ends meet because of inflation and other things that are going on. And I mean, these people basically get money, a cell phone, and get put up in a hotel, right, too. So this has happened in Europe too. So a lot of what happens in Europe, so goes the United States. So same thing there. Before Biden even got in office, they already dissolved their borders. There was, you know, refugees coming in from Syria, Yemen, the Middle East, all coming into Germany, you know, all of these other European countries, to where the German people have actually left. There's very few German people in Germany. I was talking to a guy at the gym who is German. He's half German. And
German.
German.
I only use Steiner glass.
I try and talk in that accent, and he makes fun of me for it. So, but no, he was talking about how basically they've done the same thing. They've been doing it for years before we even dissolved our border. And there are no Germans that live there because they can't work there because all the migrants have all the jobs. So what they do is they actually go overseas and make and start companies overseas. They don't start any companies in Germany. It's because it's all full of migrants at this point.
So they are getting replaced by migrants, and the Germans are leaving Germany to go do business elsewhere.
Yeah. So there's very few actual native Germans who live in Germany because of that.
So whenever you had the game warden buddy, that freaking was it all dudes or was it like families?
I honestly don't know, but I would assume. I mean, I didn't. He never said anything about kids. I feel like he would have brought that up. You know?
Yeah,
but he did say that it's really sad. You know, it's like dire. Like these people are like they're down bad.
Yeah,
but I mean, I feel like he would have brought up like there was wife and kids or. You know, this is what you do with the kids.
See, things. So
that's kind of what you see now, even in Texas. And I'm just to put it out there, I'm the not educated. I'm a TikTok educated guy, right? Yeah. Like, I'm not like super invested, but if I'm swiping, I see a monster truck do a backflip, and then I see like Florida Highway Patrols in Texas. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. That's where my viewpoint is also, which I think is a good take, because I'm just like your basic. Dude, I'm not like super invested, but
do you think a lot of people in the country, especially in the younger generation, are on that same level in terms of like not really like staying up to date with that type of current things? Like, hey, I got other things that I'm more interested in.
They're way more educated than I was at a younger age.
Wow.
Because I'm at that age where I still had like my first phone was a flip phone.
That's
and like the only image I could see is if I wanted to buy a new wallpaper or something. You know, I wasn't watching the news for sure, you know, as a kid, but I mean, I'd say kids are much more educated now, whether that's like good or bad, or if they're being fed what good or bad, you know?
Right.
But yeah, I'd say a lot more people are probably getting involved or at least being influenced to think a certain way, whether it's good or bad. It's up to you.
I would say that there's a good portion basically that just don't care. Like, they would rather not even know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie, you scared me. I forgot you were back there.
You didn't even know I was here, right?
just
it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
What's that all about?
Yeah. No, you're probably right, too. I mean, I'm kind of there, right? Like, just like everybody's life, it's like we're really busy and there's a lot of scary stuff. If you're not busy, you're not paying your bills, you're not, you know, you kind of have to be like head down and working. And if you have time to pop your head up, it's like, I don't know, man. It's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of crazy stuff going on. Like, let's just go to the beach, enjoy. There's probably a ton of that. I know there's a ton of that.
Yeah.
You know?
I know my mother-in-law, she's that way where she's just like, nope, nothing's bad. I know there's stuff happening in the world. I just can't know about it. Like, yeah. Just got to do my thing. And that's the thing. It's like, I always love this saying, but it says history happens slowly over time and then all of a sudden, right? Like, it's one of those things, like, I try to think about, like, you know, the German people or the British in World War II, they're living their life. Yeah, I hear rumors about this crazy dude with a ridiculous mustache. And, you know, the Germans are overstepping their bounds again. They're probably having similar debates. And then, boom, all of a sudden, it's like, what the frick? Like, what planes are those flying over? Oh, crap, they're dropping bombs. Like, at what point is it like a harsh reality? And I think that's the thing. It's what terrifies me for the American population is there's a lot of people who are so buried in all their life tasks and problems because the economy sucks. They're just trying to provide for their family, just trying to do all these other things. And then all of a sudden it pops off. And it's like, well, I wasn't ready for that. I was too busy worrying about trying to see if I can pay my electric bill tomorrow.
And here's the question that I always end up back to when I think about these sayings or see stuff, especially which could be cool to bring up too, is like stuff the farmers are doing in
France.
Yeah,
bro,
crazy. Okay, so before I get to that, I want to say, you know, I always, you know, end up in that loop of like, man, this feels weird. It feels like a lot of stuff's going on. And then I'm like, but what am I supposed to do about it? Like, I need to go pick up my camera tomorrow and go spearfishing to make a video. Like what
right.
am I, you know, it's like, I guarantee, and I'm lucky enough to have the freedom to be able to like move and groove as I want to. If I wanted to go do something or make a stand somewhere or feel like I can make an impact, I have the freedom to go do that. Whereas other people are like, I have to clock in tomorrow at 9 to 5, you know?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I still ask myself, it's like, well, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what to do. But it brings me to the stuff in France. That stuff's crazy. With the tractors?
Yeah.
It's getting wild over there. Saw it on TikTok.
Yeah. I'm surprised it's not banned on TikTok, dude.
Yeah.
Because it's like usually that type of like, like revolting type stuff is usually banned. But I mean, it's a Chinese platform, so they're probably like, yeah, go France, you know, like, dude, they're spraying poop on the frickin'
that is pretty BA.
That's about the, I'm like, we need to start spraying poop, dude.
Yeah,
it's mind-blowing how much poop there is.
I know,
like, that's a lot of poop, dude.
Where do you find it? Where are you getting all of it?
Turn the White House into a brown house, bud, real fast.
Right,
yeah, man.
What are your thoughts on it, Chris? What's going on?
I agree. I mean, I think that our TikTok is a lot different than China's TikTok too, is like,
yeah, they speak Chinese on that one.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's a major difference. Thanks. Oh man, I missed it. Great point, Eric.
Yeah.
So no, it's, they actually feed them content that's actually going to make them smarter,
right?
And actually, and they also have a limit on
TikTok.
they have time that they can actually be on TikTok.
Oh really?
National bedtime for them.
Yeah, so to
they
your
cut
point,
it off
right so to your point, like backflip of a tire or a truck ramping a ramp or whatever, that's what they're
monster truck backflip.
Monster truck backflip.
A truck ramping a ramp.
Yep.
So that's the kind of content that they're getting off of TikTok, right? So they're not really getting educated by it. They're just kind of getting a bunch of videos that are entertaining, essentially.
Well, you
truck
hear
ramping.
They're
truck ramping off of a tire.
Again, this is all just stuff that I've heard from other people. It's not like I'm over there, like, you know, giving you information I see. But I've also heard where ours is viral TikToks or things that are exciting or highly engaged are rewarded by being shared more
right.
on ours platform. In China, it's very science and success based driven content is rewarded by going viral. Yeah. So that's also just, you don't see any, you know, sometimes we see a new like bathroom hack or something. You're like, nice, I won't run out of toilet paper. Right.
Man, I'm 30 years old and I just found this out. Yeah.
You know, but apparently, we're just getting just trash as content goes.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense. Like if that's an adversary, you know what I'm saying? And see, here's the thing is like they're doing all these things. That's a long game tactic.
Yes.
You know, they're playing the long game, but it's like, does China have that amount of, does the CCP have that amount of time to continue playing the long game? I mean, their population's not doing good.
Well, it becomes a long game until it becomes a short game, right? So it's like, they've done it for so long. To your point, it's like, you have these moments where they take advantage of. So, yeah, they've been playing a long game, but it's like, how much longer can they play the long game, right?
Yeah.
At some point, it's going to come to a head where they're going to have to do something, where they're kind of backed into a corner. And they are kind of backed into a corner as far as land, consumption. I mean, a lot of their people are kind of in a bad spot. So they almost have no choice but to expand. I think we kind of talked about this before. But, as far as what they plan to do and how they're going to be a part of the whole big picture. I mean, I listened to a lot of Alex Jones, and he kind of said it best. Is like, you have bad people in every government, right? Mm. So it's like, we like to paint the Chinese government as bad, and they are bad, but so is our government, right? Yeah. So is a lot of other governments, especially your top tier countries. They've all got their hands in it, right? So, you know, that's kind of the way I see it. I don't see it as good guys, United States, China, you know, bad guys, or Russia, bad guys. It's just, you have higher level people in each of these governments that like to, again, cause controversy, like to cause chaos, so that they can come in then and establish more control, take away more freedoms. So we kind of got off track of TikTok. We kind of went down a rabbit hole, but
from truck ramping on tires.
Right.
Nobody plays Monopoly nice.
Yeah.
Yeah,
when you play
true.
Monopoly, you want to win.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether you're building little greenhouses or apartments and pissing people off and making deals, like, you know, that's the way I think about it.
I think that there are a few groups of people in Monopoly that are working together to get the other couple of people in Monopoly that are not a part of the team, saying, hey, we'll work together, even if we're not going to benefit from it in the long run, but we can mutually benefit.
Yeah, we'll fight later.
We'll fight later, or we have the whole board. Because I think at the end, it's going to be a one-world system. It's going to be a one-world government and a one-world entity. Because, I mean, you got to think about how many people actually own the media. Like, how many people? It's literally a handful of people.
Six companies, yeah.
Six.
Actually?
Yeah.
Wow.
Can you talk about that? Six companies. Who is it?
I think it's Disney. I know Disney's number one. I think Apple's one of them. I don't know. You're going to have to fact check me on it. Someone could look it up. Do we have a Jamie?
Yeah. We got a Roy.
Pull it up, Roy.
Oh, we got a Roy.
Roy, can you go ahead and pull that up?
Yeah. Look up top six companies that own the entire media establishment.
Who runs the world?
Yeah. I know it's like a small group of families that own a lot of these banks, the big corporations, the Rockefellers, all those type of people, and they own the media, and they all, I was shocked when someone told me this. It was literally like a handful of people that own everything, from real estate, BlackRock, media, all of it, military-industrial complex. But what I think is that there are some people who are in that group. They're not in that cool kids meeting, and that's either your third world country, right? You're just whatever for us. You're a place where we get to test our new weapons, or you're a first world nation that's just not in the club. And I think Putin is one of those people. I think that Xi Jinping is another person that's not in the club. And that's why you have this whole BRICS thing, which the BRICS is. So do you understand the premise of the whole like the reserve currency, the world reserve currency? So the dollar is the currency, right?
Mm-hmm.
So BRICS essentially is Britain, Russia, China, India, and what's the S?
South Africa.
So South Korea actually just formally requested, which is America's biggest ally in Asia, just requested to be a part of BRICS and go on the BRICS currency to use for global trade and economic trade, which means, If that happens, then the only thing that America provides is we provide us the consumer. So we will buy all of your exports. We will keep the thing going. We will use our money, right? and we will provide you security. But Afghanistan, how much security did that really provide to the world? How much did that show the world, like, I'm paying a lot for the security, but I just saw what happened in Afghanistan. That doesn't seem like the best bargain, right? The best bang for my buck. It's a big nothing burger is what it looked like.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think we forget about those types of things of what happens when all that comes back, right? When all that money that's in around the world comes back to the U.S. because we're not using that anymore. What happens to the U.S. economy? What happened to the U.S. population? Especially when we're a population who has lived as a consumer for so long that we really don't need anything. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can kind of live very lush. I would say I've traveled around the world. I'm sure you've traveled around the world. I've been to some pretty crappy nations. And it is, like, poverty in a third world country is nothing. Like, the poverty here in the States is nothing compared to the poverty in a third world country. It's nuts.
Yeah, we got homeless people that are fat and obese.
Yeah.
Here in the United States. You can think about
that. I mean,
that.
I think there's some people.
I've never thought about that.
Yeah. It's like, there's no other, I don't think there's any other country that has obese, you know, homeless people.
Dude, so I remember one time I saw in Thailand, and this is kind of a sad story, but I saw this kid, and he had his arm chopped off. Like, he was missing an arm. And he's sitting in, like, these rags for underwear, and he's sitting on this, like, dirty tarp in, like, the middle of this street area, and he's asking for money to buy food. And I go to give him some money, because I'm like, this is, holy smokes, it's terrible. Like, this kid looks like he's 8 years old. And my buddy Kumar, actually, stops me, and he's like, hey, man, don't do that. And I was like, why? He's like, his arm was cut off by his parents, most likely. And they stuck him out on the street to beg for food and for money. And then he comes and brings it back to the family or brings it back to, like, a mob boss.
Wow.
It's crazy,
jeez.
Dude. So it's like we don't – I think there are people, yes, we have struggles here in the States. But, I mean, if you want to get high, the government will give you a free needle. You know what I'm saying? Like, the government will give you a cell phone if you come in through illegally. Yeah. Like, what are we doing, you know? Mm-hmm. We're doing truck ramping on tires.
Yeah, right.
I should have never said it.
Yeah, on Tiki Talk.
Doing truck ramps on tires.
Crazy, man. Crazy times.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's funny.
So my question is you're going to have all these people that are coming across the border who come from these countries, who know hardship. Dude, they're going to run circles around people here in the States because they probably had to work in a way where their lives depended on it.
Well, the thing is, it's not going to work to their advantage. So all these people that are coming across are thinking that they're getting a free ticket to enjoy the United States, right, and all the benefits of it. But it's like that's like letting everyone in the community pool. Like someone's going to piss in it or vomit in it, and it's going to ruin the entire experience for everyone. It's no longer a clean pool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're all sharing this. So it's going to collapse the system. It's going to cause such a weight on the system itself, and you're already seeing it, that now it's not even good for anybody anymore.
Pool's closed.
Pool is closed. Well, we need to close the pool, but we're just keeping it open.
And so, we're pooping in it ourselves.
Yeah, so not only are people pooping in it and peeing in it,
we're
just continuing to allow them to do it until we get to a point where it's not even a pool anymore. It just becomes a toilet, and the United States is becoming a toilet.
I didn't think about that.
We're going to need a lot of chlorine.
It kind of makes me think of the FBI pushed out a terrorist watch list warning about a huge possibility of a terror attack here in the States coming because of the open border. So, like, you were talking about your buddy the game warden.
Mm-hmm.
If that was all dudes, we've been seeing that pretty consistently where it's mostly large groups of males.
I don't know. Send it.
What is it?
This is just my outside, uneducated brain. I mean, do you think that there's really something that organized where 20, 30, 40, 50,000 people are together like, all right, you're going to go January, I'm going to go February, we're all going to meet up in March, you know? Like, I don't know. It's just my little uneducated truck tire rant brain that's like, I don't know, man. I think people have always been coming across.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's just it's a party. There's a big party going on.
Yeah. So I this is a fun secret. I lived in China from 2003 or 2004 to 2007. You don't leave that country So there's a ton of Chinese nationals, all males, coming through the border, right? Thousands of them. You don't leave that country without government permission. Like, you want to talk about a lockdown border? China's got a lockdown border. I mean, it is locked down. I mean, probably the only one that's more locked down is North Korea.
Okay.
So how are all of these Chinese dudes getting out of China? You know what I'm saying? Like, the only way that you leave China, and this is something, you know, from living over there and kind of seeing how they have life, and this is when it was a little bit more relaxed, right? So now it's under Xi Jinping, it's gotten way worse, way more communistic. But the only way that you would leave the country is if you had somebody that you knew that worked at this place and you kind of like, oh, yeah, let me, you know, or they're a family member that works in the CCP or whatever. Mm-hmm. But most of those people that leave have connections in the government and are given a visa to travel, especially to the United States.
Tens and thousands of them, though?
That's,
or are we saying that there's going to be like one or two guys that's
what
like
I'm saying is,
coming with?
The question is how is that possible? How is it a country that has super secure borders allowing all of these Chinese men to come through South America to the border in the United States? Or is it something that's coordinated and sanctioned by the government for a purpose, right?
Right.
Hey, all right, hey, you guys want to, you know, you want to serve, whatever? Yep, you're going on this mission set. Because I think about, like, there's, if you look at the amount of train derailments that have happened recent, like within the past year.
East Palestine, people
East
forgot.
East Palestine, yeah. It is insane, dude. It doesn't make the news. It is insane the amounts of thousands of incidents that are happening within the past 3 years of trains being derailed.
Right.
Like, if you look at Special Operations 101, hitting trains, hitting infrastructure, hitting grids, hitting all this type of stuff. That's like 101 special operations, mm-hmm. type mission set. So you have an increase. The border's more porous. We have an increase in these attacks, and or not attacks, but these incidents that are happening. And the other thing is, in this FBI report, they were talking about caches. So the Chinese government is buying all this land owned by the Chinese government. The Chinese government is the one, even though it's a Chinese business, it's really the government because the business belongs to the government.
Correct.
They own this land. Nobody can go on it because it's private property. So you hide all your caches, your weapons, all that type of stuff on this property. And then you have all of your fighting force that has come through the border. They get activated at the same time. They all get a text. You got to think about how much control China has on their population.
Yeah, that is a little sketchy.
And that's what the FBI report's pretty much talking about, is the possibility. You also got to think about Iran, China, all of these countries that do not like us. Mm-hmm. And it's, I think we get so brain dead because of the media, like, you know, oh, well, like, China could never do that. They couldn't sustain. Or Russia's, you know, losing in Ukraine so badly they couldn't sustain. They have to ask the North Koreans to go fight for them and blah, 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 because they sent 100,000 North Koreans to Ukraine to go help fight. And I'm like, dude, they're not helping the Russians. The Russians reached out to the North Koreans and said, your military has no combat experience. Would you like to get some? We did the same thing in Afghanistan and Iraq. Hey, Britain, France, all these other, hey, you need, like, Yugoslavia, you need some combat experience? Yeah, send like a battalion. You get some combat experience, go on some missions, do this. You bring that up. Those are lessons learned. The North Koreans are doing that now in Ukraine.
Mm. Wow. Well, to your point, we saw that with the Black Lives Matter movement, the Summer of Love. I mean, you had bricks just randomly appearing on corners for people to use to throw at buildings. You had all these types of things that were just set out.
Who's setting out the bricks?
Who's setting out the
bricks? Nobody's asking that question. Who is the one delivering the bricks?
Yeah. So, yeah, that correlates to what you're talking about. You know what I mean? So they could be activated at any point. I have a question. I mean, do you think that BlackRock's involved with it? Like, are they buying up all the land so they can have these caches?
I think it all ends up going back to, if you want to have a one world system, America as a country, I would say, no, not even that. America as a culture cannot exist. We've been free for too long. It's embedded. If someone tells you what to do, say, hey, I need you to go throw out that trash. What's your immediate instinct? Piss off.
I'm not doing
go
that.
Away. I'm yeah, not doing
do it
that.
After my show.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So that is how our culture is. We've been too free for too long. Like, if you ever talk to a European dude that comes and shoots guns for the first time, and they're like, what? Like, I can't believe this. And it's like, they're just embedded in their brains.
What do you mean by that?
So I, at the shop, like, I would get, because we were right off of I-4. Right. So we would get Disney travelers that, right, you know, okay, these foreigners save up, you know, their entire life to come to Florida to go to Disney. So we would get Disney travelers that would come into the shop and just walk in and want to take pictures with guns.
Oh, wow.
Like, and just ask, like, they're completely shocked by, you know, or we used to rent firearms. We used to rent, you know, full autos and everything, right, else like, right, that. We would, you know, take them out there on the range and actually, you know, let them shoot, and how amazed that they are. Like, this is just obtainable.
Right.
Like, to them, that's completely foreign. It is foreign. Like, they just they can't even grasp the fact of, like, okay, I can walk in here. Now, they don't understand necessarily all the laws and the rules. They don't think, right, they don't understand that you have to do a background and everything else that goes along with it that we all know that we're properly educated on. But to them, they come in, it's like, oh, wow, I could just walk in here and I can actually hold this. Mm-hmm. I can put this in my hand. So
I see that too on when I was posting the Instagram stuff, which was fun for all my followers to be like, this guy does what? He's shooting fish and targets?
What's happening right
what
now?
The Aquaman is going on here. And so I posted the other day, you know, when we were going to go train, I, you know, was riding, had some music, just posted a story, and people were like, is this legal? What are you doing?
Yeah,
you
yeah.
But you also get people from other countries too, where they're like, man, that's so cool. Yeah. You know, it's really interesting.
Yeah.
Kind of opens a light to that.
And that's what it would be, is they were like, too, at the same time, like, that's so cool. That's mm-hmm. awesome. Right. Like, I can't own this stuff. Like you guys have a right. And a lot of them would start breaking down into, you know, like, their thoughts behind it, like how they wish that they actually had a Second Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because their government has entirely too much power.
Yeah. I'll never forget. And, you know, this just starts a whole rabbit hole, but I'll never forget, you know, my ex-girlfriend now, but girlfriend at the time, her family, they're all from New York, and they all came down to Florida. They all live here now, but they were always like, you know, Brandon's the guy with the gun safe and whatever. You know, I was like that guy, you know? And, but I'll never forget when there was, like, riots and stuff going on, and there was supposed to be one local, they were like, hey, do you think you could just come stay at the house tonight and just bring some protection and stuff. Yeah. But people realize that they need it.
Yeah.
Too late.
Yeah. Always. Dude. The buying sprees, how they jump up immediately as soon as, you know, there's riots, there's a hurricane, whatever it may be. So a hurricane, you know, there were 7 days or 3 days out before a hurricane, and you get the entire panic buy. Not only are they panic buying their plywood, strapping it to the top of their Priuses and their Teslas.
Classic Florida. I love it.
And hey, I got this bag. Can you pour some gas in it?
And fill in
he's got an overland rig now. So
he still have a trash bag of gas.
Toy cars riding around.
Filling their gas can, filling their trash bags up in their Rubbermaid totes full of gas. They're doing the same exact same thing. They're rushing into a gun shop, like you know, if they don't own something or they do own something, and they're like, hey, you know, I got this gun, and most of the time it's like some Saturday night special that their granddaddy bought that, you know, hasn't been fired in 2 decades or whatever, and it's rusted, completely closed. You can't. The ammunition's no longer made for it.
Oh, goodness.
But generally speaking, it's what guys are coming up to your back and jamming in your back at a gas station, you know, type, that kind of stuff like that. But yeah, it amazes me. They rush out to the gun shops. They immediately try to buy. You know, if you've been in the industry long enough, Eric, you've had opportunity to see it some. It's just how the panic buy never ceases to amaze me.
Mm. Yep. Every time. I'm one of them too, though. Yeah. But I'm buying the, I've been through this.
Yeah.
And I know what we're actually going to need. Well,
you're buying it from an aspect of like, okay, well, you know what? I already have all this other stuff, but I just want to buy this more stuff because I have the, you know, I have the ability to do so to a certain extent. These people are buying it. Oh, dude, when COVID came through, I know I probably can't say the word COVID, but whatever.
Poo-poo.
Immediately demonetized by saying the word. So whenever the virus came through. Eric, you can cut that part.
Yeah, we'll just call it the fart disease.
The fart disease. How many people were coming in that had no idea what they were doing, no idea what to buy, and just buying Turkish-made shotguns, like buying them off the shelf.
And toilet paper.
And toilet paper.
There it is, dude.
Like it was nothing.
Shotguns and toilet paper.
Dude, I remember there was a dude that owned a archery store in Tampa, and he was telling my father-in-law, he was like, yeah, man, I have zero crossbows. I have zero longbows. I have zero any type of bow and arrow. People were buying bows and arrows to literally have for self-defense. There was a, he said there, at, there's, you know, Reload? Yeah. Or yeah, I think it's Reload. Yeah. It's in Clearwater.
Yep.
They said that there was a grandma. She was 75 years old. The only thing that was left was a 6.5 Creedmoor bolt gun.
Oh, hell yeah.
What was that? It was like $6,000 at the time. And she was like, and she bought that and 20 rounds and walked out the, waddled out the store with it. It's like, what are you going to do with that?
Her grandson's going to be stoked in a couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw this on Call of Duty.
Dude, I'm telling you, they bought everything. It didn't matter what it was. If it, it didn't, if you had ammunition to go with it.
Yeah.
They were buying it. It does not matter what it was.
That's crazy.
Absolutely crazy. They were pocket knives. Like, I ran out of guns, and I got pocket knives, and they're in there like, well, let me get a pocket knife.
Yep.
Speaking of ammo, brought up a completely different question. The other day, I was thinking about this.
Mm-hmm.
So, on the plate here, I've got 3 magazines, 2 on the belt, 1 in the gun. Then I was thinking, if things ever really went down, and you had to, like, leave. Obviously, the optimal thing is, like, I've got a ton of ammo here. But if you had to leave, realistically, you don't know. It could be a week. Could be 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You might have to start growing crops to eat in the future.
Yeah.
What does a loadout like that look like? Let's just say you're using 5.56, sure. Something everybody's familiar with.
So,
realistically.
The Army combat load is 8 mags or 7+1. Mm-hmm. So you have 1 in the gun and 7 on your body. Some guys may have different TTPs and stuff like that, but for the military, that's what they're loading out. Now, if I'm going to be on an extended period of time, like, you got to account for water, food, all right. That other stuff.
Exactly.
So I think a lot of people, this is actually an interesting point that you brought up, because a lot of people think, especially it's good to ruck. It's good to have that rucksack and being able to move and carry all your stuff on your back and go around and stuff like that. And you can put extra ammo in your bag. But if you look at, like, Ukraine, which is a modern conflict, it's happening right now. If you want to see what modern warfare, they're flying drones into people with VR goggles. Like,
it feels old school, got taken to modern times, which is weird.
It is.
Like,
with
trenches
with
and
drones
is crazy.
Crazy. But how many guys you see running around in rucks? You don't see anybody running.
Right.
It's a miserable vehicle everywhere. So I think vehicles are going to have a massive role to play. I think that, you know, the more that you can go off-road, the more that you can not, you know, have better fuel consumption, the more that you can take fuel with you, the more you can weld a flipping machine gun arm to the side of it, like, the better. Like, I think that that's going to be a huge role, because with drones, if I'm going to put on a rucksack and try to walk from point A to point B, and there's drones flying around, I have a very slim chance of survival because I'm going to get spotted before I even get to the end base, right?
I was just going to say, your ideal of a loadout, taking the modern battlefield that we have to witness right now, like in Ukraine and stuff like that, what does it look like? You just go in somewhat prepared.
Yeah.
Right.
And change on, I mean, look how much it's evolved relatively very quickly because of drones.
Right.
And that exact same thing is going to happen here. It's going to happen Europe. It's going to happen anywhere. It doesn't matter what country you're in. You know that that's going to happen in. That's the new footprint of war. So trench war.
I don't think you're going to have massive armies. If it was a civil war, I don't think you'd have a massive army. You'd have, like, bigger groups. It would be very similar to the Syrian war that happened, Syria and Libya, where you have 2 major groups. You got ISIS and you got the Syrians, right? And then you have the Syrian rebels, and then you have the Free Syrian Army, and then you've got the actual Syrian army. So you have all of these factions and they're all fighting each other. Now, sometimes those factions join together to fight a worse enemy or a common enemy. But at the end of the day, you're going to have all these factions fighting each other. So I think here in the States, if there was something that happened, like a quote unquote civil war, it would be similar to a bunch of factions. So you and your homies, and right. Then we slowly let people in, you know, all right, you're cool, or I know this guy, or this is family, and blah, blah, blah. And then you start forming a little tribe. And in that tribe, you find a place where you make your base, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And then you do stuff out of that base. So
yeah.
I don't think that, as far as, yeah, your mag loadout, it would be what you think would be appropriate.
So this, and not to keep carrying on, but this is one thing that I think about sometimes. If all electric, all your digital stuff went completely black.
Yeah.
You don't have any of that. You can't, you know, my mom lives 2 hours away. I can't go see if she's good because I don't know if I can get gas to get back. And for some reason, got to go into the woods just to not be obvious in a home. Mm-hmm. I've been thinking, do you run what, you know, we train with all the time, or you do you grab your 22 and 2,000 rounds, you know yeah. what I mean? Like a little
I think
22.
For me, if I'm going into the unknown and if I'm going into an environment where everything is going to crazy, it's the purge.
Right.
You bet your bottom dollar I'm bringing something that will put you down.
Right.
Fast. And I'm talking not like quiet. Like if I'm getting a fight, it will be so violent and overwhelming that anybody else that's hearing it is probably going to, I'm probably going to stay away from that general
That's
area.
A good point too.
So like.
Chris, are you bringing the DTT?
No, that's if I go into downtown Tampa, that's probably never happening. I'm staying away from all major cities at that point in time. Yeah. If I'm going into downtown Tampa, things are really bad.
With your M1A.
In a bad way. Oh, dude. With my M1A and my plate carrier loaded out with 308.
How many mags you bring, Chris? Oh, I could only carry four.
Yeah. You're supposed to bring eight. You're not combat ready. I couldn't do it.
It's too heavy. I'll be in the helicopter above.
Yeah,
like, all
right, yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I mean, that's a good question, man.
Think about nuclear weapons. You know what I mean? Like,
well, I mean, at that point, it makes it easy because it's just like, all right, well, I'm dead or I'm not.
Yeah. I mean, what does modern warfare look like when you have two countries in a nuclear exchange with each other? Then that changes the game completely. You know what I mean? So
it just looks like white. Just
What? Probably just looks like my eye socket's melting. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That's terrifying.
There's so many scenarios. It's just so hard to plan for that one scenario. It's like, and that's part of it too. It's like there's so many different things that could happen. You know what I mean? Like Civil War or World War III or any of this stuff for happening. It's like it's so hard to actually plan because either way, like either setup is going to have its downfalls. You're not going to be able to cover all of your bases. Mm-hmm. So I think you talked about this, like anything that's missing in your kit or your gear, hopefully you can supplement that with skills.
Yep.
Right. So whether it's growing food, whether it's being able to fix a car or, you know, take your pick, whatever craft that you want to do. So I think that there's such a high commodity on acquiring skills, I think, specifically now. I mean, that's kind of like my goal moving forward is I want to get as many skills as possible.
There's always been that super hyper focus basically for so long. And you know, in our world that, you know, as far as in training around firearms and everything else like that, that it's been so heavily firearm focused. I think a lot of dudes have sat out there and forgot, like, you know, okay, well, especially some of them that are a little younger didn't grow up with a dad that was necessarily forcing them to change a tire or like my dad forcing me to basically, you know, you want a pool? Here's a shovel. Go dig your freaking pool. You know what I'm saying?
Love like, pool, baby.
Yeah, exactly. So I think, I don't know. I think that there has to be this push and it's kind of already starting to happen, but more people moving into knowing how to, okay, well, if we're talking about that we're needing to move and vehicles are how we're moving, the roads are basically almost to a certain extent shut down. Okay. How do I move? How do I get these vehicles out of my way? How do I move off road? How do I do this kind of stuff? How do I recover a vehicle? We're in a group now, we're moving. We're having to go off road just a little bit. We're on the interstate and part of the interstate's blocked and I got to go into the median. Well, the median's soaking freaking wet and I'm stuck now. How do I get my buddy out?
In the open.
You know, how do I do this? How do I pull guard plus get my, you know, my comrade, my homie? How do I get him out of the ditch?
So that's something, actually, that's a great question. As far as when it comes to, like, having skill sets, this is why I'm talking to you offline about the spearfishing thing, and you brought up a great point. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so basically we were just talking about, you know, I'm always on the water. That's like, you know, that's my home, really.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were talking about some of the advantages, you know, of getting food, acquiring food, and, you know, especially, like, nutrient-rich protein. I mean, fish is incredible. But, you know, being in Florida, we're surrounded by water. Yep. Everyone's going to be fishing, you know, if it comes down to that.
Yeah.
You have the luxury to fish without getting shot at.
Yeah, for real.
Right. But, you know, I was always saying, you know, spearfishing is so superior to this because I've been fishing the past 3 days, and in total, I've caught four fish.
Yeah.
You know, and that's all day.
Yeah.
All day. Yeah.
That's a lot of time exposed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you're also just, you have to play the weather and then what they want to bite. And there might be fish there that you can't catch because you don't have the right kind of gear. If you dive in the water, I told Eric this, which is funny. It's like, I could put you on a boat and wait for you to catch a fish, but I could drop in the water and shoot a fish in the first 30 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, it's the first fish I see is the one I will take. But it's, you know, and that's part of been my, in the back of my head all the time. It's like wherever I go, it's like, well, I'll bring a spear gun and some goggles because it's just the best way to get food. I mean, it really is. I mean, it's, they're everywhere, whether it's teeny tiny or huge, and it's such good protein.
It's also, you're not sitting somewhere with a fishing pole as an easy target.
Oh,
you're underwater.
Yeah.
So you're like...
You also don't have to wait.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you, with fishing, there's a lot of waiting.
Yeah.
It's, a lot of waiting and skill. And
moving, just gear, just the amount of gear that you have to have with you, everything else like that versus spearfishing, like you said. It's been a few years since I spearfished, but I used to do it quite often.
Yeah.
And just, you know, it's relatively pretty simple as far as equipment that you're taking with you versus I take my boat offshore now. It looks like I got 30 rods. And all this tackle and everything else like that. And I come back skunked with, you know, hopefully I don't get skunked. I come back with some grunts or something like that. But
yeah, your fishing line, you need fishing line, you need lures, you need rods, you need reels, you need all this essentials. And without one of those, you're having a really tough time.
Yeah.
But with a spear gun, it's either an elastic band or shaft or a pokey stick.
Yeah.
Like you could do it. And you could also do it without goggles. It's just blurry as hell.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So the movie Castaway was not realistic, being able to use a sharpened stick and just drill a fish.
No, I mean, actually, they have like
the
three
prong. I did it in the Amazon.
Did you really?
We stabbed piranhas. We primitive spearfished.
Oh, okay. How did you design your spear? What kind of...
So we did... it was pretty freaking sick. Some jungle...
You just said I speared a piranha in the Amazon. Yeah, it sounds freaking incredible.
So basically, we were there with a bunch of guides who only spoke Portuguese. It was hilarious. You know, they every time they spoke to you, you're like, still don't know. Still don't.
Didn't magically understand.
Day six.
Yeah.
I don't know. But they basically chopped a very specific piece of wood. It was, I don't know how to say it, but it splintered really well. Mm-hmm. And all they did was make about a 4-foot pole for us and then chopped down the center of it. Well, they made it pointy, you know, imagine a sharpened pencil, but then they took their machete and went down the center of it, put two sticks, so it was a 4-prong.
Yeah.
And we didn't actually even go underwater. There's actually rapids in the Amazon, if anyone didn't know, in certain sections. Very cool. So there's a waterfall and rapids, and these piranhas, which are not the baby ones, they're huge. They're like this big. They're black.
I didn't even
realize
they were that big.
Oh, there's like 30 different species of piranhas. There's a whole bunch of weird stuff in the Amazon that you don't hear about.
Yeah.
And, but they run up the river like salmon almost because they're trying to go up the current. So you see them in pockets and you just pop them. But it's really, really cool.
Dang.
Yeah, very cool.
That's freaking wild. That's some man stuff right there. And it's funny. It's like if I have to, like, I'm terrible at fishing. I'm about as useful as a white crayon when it comes to fishing.
Eric is good at shooting guns and training and setting up equipment. But if you ask him what's wrong with his vehicle, he's just going to add oil to it.
All I know is oil goes machine, so it sounds right.
Yes.
Eric's vehicle's smoking so heavily one day. And it's dude, it's like 4 quarts over oil. Like, it's just pouring oil out of it because he's like, I think I need to add more oil.
Listen, oil similar to gas. They both come out of the ground.
That makes me nervous because he did say he did an oil change on one of my trucks. Like,
no, he actually had that done professionally. So you're good.
I actually had my oil change on the van recently. Thank goodness. But the 5-minute oil change is legit. It didn't take 5 minutes. It was like 35 minutes.
That's how they get you. Yeah. Did they come out with like different fluids too? They're like, actually, all these need change as well. It's another $350.
Yeah, he was like, well, first I was like, oh, yeah. Well, I'm like, okay, I'll get the economy. He's like, well, the only one we have routed the other ones. I was like, bull crap.
You have plenty in the back. Go look again.
Yeah. With that ruck tramping tire. Ruck.
did he try to sell you winter wipers?
Yeah, he actually did. I said no.
It's so predictable.
I know.
That's funny.
I said no.
That's funny.
Yeah, I just they were fresh. They're good enough, dude.
So as far as talking about a man skill, you should probably learn how to change your own oil, right?
That's why I bring Roy with me everywhere I go.
Me and Roy will just never separate through the exactly. entire apocalypse.
Yeah,
just be together. I keep him around just to change my oil.
I'll keep Chris around for humor.
Yeah, that's the only skill I actually provide in a apocalyptic situation.
Chris, what is your apocalyptic or your post-apocalyptic skill?
I can eat anything.
That is true.
Yeah, I can consume anything.
Yeah,
if I'm that hungry, I will eat it. So I'll survive.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, my camera guy right now, his name's Travis, and I always give him the hardest time ever because anywhere we go, you know, we could be in the Amazon. Yeah. He's like a cheeseburger guy, which there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, we're in the middle of Belize, and we had a personal sushi chef in the Blue Hole. And I was like, dude, if you were ever going to try sushi, this is the spot. He's like, no, I don't eat sushi. I'm like, what? So Why? He's just this guy. Nope, no mustard, no nothing. I'm like, bro, if things ever go down and you have to eat acorns, you're going to be pissed.
Yeah, acorns.
You got to just be able to eat anything.
Yeah,
sometimes.
There are people at work that are like, well, I won't eat that. I'm like, you're dead. You're dead in the first 10 days.
You'll never
can't
make
eat
it.
That. Yeah.
It's the kid. It's those people grew up eating literally like Gushers and fruit roll-ups
exactly,
every day for lunch.
Hey, you calm down.
Hey, come on now.
I know. I had oatmeal cream pies in my lunchbox.
I had some Dunkaroos when I was this child.
Fruit roll-ups are the best.
That's funny.
Dude, do you remember? Dunkaroos, man. I forgot about that. You like
dip it
in
into
that cream?
Questionable cream.
They brought them back.
This white cream.
Yeah, I saw that.
They're back, dude.
Dude, do you remember the Kool-Aid bottles where you like had to twist the top and the top of it looked like a freaking the Temple of Ra thing?
Those never left.
Yeah. But they had one where you could stick a little pill in there and it changed the color, dude.
Dude, I bring this up all the time and no one remembers.
Yeah, I remember that, dude.
I remember it too.
Yeah. Because I remember my mom being like, too expensive, and get something different. I was like, oh, but everybody's changing their colors, bro.
Everyone's changing their colors. I would take the tops and like pretend it's an airplane.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the freaking alien Temple of Ra vehicle or something. Yeah,
right.
Freaking, dude. I mean, I feel like stuff back then was just a lot more simple. It might be an old person saying now, oh, it's back, use your, but I mean, legitimately, like, I look forward to playing my Game Boy Color when I got home. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Probably didn't have a ton of responsibilities yet.
No. Yeah. But I think it's something that, you know, a lot of, like you were talking about earlier about this generation of kids, they have so much information at their fingertips. You know what I'm saying? But it's also easy for that misinformation.
They have so much to stimulate them.
That's true.
Think about what we had. All right, I'm 41. Okay, so I mean I'm the oldest guy sitting at the table here, but how much stuff that I know that my kids, you know, I have a 19-year-old son and a 13-year-old daughter or a 14-year-old daughter, how much stuff that they have that they have been provided with that keeps them so stimulated that they, you know, they don't have anything that they have to go force themselves to do. They don't have to look far for it. Me, I had to go outside and literally climb trees and do dumb stuff. Ride my bicycle off the roof of the house.
Didn't even have to, wanted to.
Exactly. I wanted to ride my bicycle off the roof of the house.
Dude, I remember when Jackass came out and I took the bolts off the front of my tire on my bike and did a wheelie and it just, my forks hit the ground and I just ate. I was like, what did I do that? Like, I was retarded. I was dumb when I did.
I'm literally retarded.
Yeah. So we're cleaning out my parents' house and stuff like that right now. And I literally find the box of all the videos, I need to turn them into like
DVDs
or something. Whatever you turn them into now, digital, make them digital.
Yeah. I think DVDs are kind of mid 2000s.
In 2 years, you're gonna be like, man, I got all these DVDs. It's like, I need to transform them. I gotta email these to myself.
Bro, I had a fat stack of CDs in my car. I had like the visor with a freaking CD.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, what do you wanna listen to? Some Creed?
Yeah, I just burned a new one, dog. I got me a fresh burn.
Yeah,
dude,
man.
When you did LimeWire, I'm like, I'm pretty much a hacker.
Yeah, right.
and then you burned them all. You burned all your best songs on the one CD.
That's right.
But anyway, so we're going through the house. We're finding things like that. And I find this entire basically box of videos. And I haven't been able to play them yet. But I know that there's some stuff in there where I made my own Jackass videos. Like riding my bicycle off the roof of the house. Yeah. Doing backflips into ponds. Doing all kinds of crazy stuff. I mean, I rode motocross, rode dirt bikes. So I was pretty stupid and fearless. But
I love that.
But yeah. It was awesome. I gotta get them together. And dude, we'll just bring them in here. We'll sit around and watch them. And
That's good.
Yeah, I think good times create weak men. That's what happens.
Yeah.
And we're seeing that with our generation. You know, just because you have everything at your fingertips, I mean, you don't get to learn the skills. You don't get to deal with the difficult times. So, like, now, if we ever go into a difficult situation, I just shake my head. Like, how are any of these people going to be able to survive? They've developed no skills whatsoever. You know, they're on their phone, they're on their tablet, they're on video games. It's just like, and because they've had access to all the stimulation, it's like, now automatically just take that away.
Yeah.
Right? Like, what kind of reaction is that going to perpetuate with that generation?
There's a video on Instagram, it may come from TikTok, that was going viral, and it was of this kid, and it showed like this 4 or 5 year old boy that was before getting an iPad for Christmas, and he's like super imagination and playing with toys and run around. And then she videotaped him after his iPad for like 4 months, and he was throwing tantrums, screaming, like losing his mind. Like, it's just there. We've lost the art of play as kids. I feel like they have, like you said, so much to stimulate them. And then you take that away and we're seeing a massive change in behavior. You know?
Yeah. I definitely saw that as a teacher. I mean, even with our instructional tools, and even with COVID, I mean, we were all on computer screens.
Yeah.
I mean, just like the whole learning process just went completely downhill. And I almost feel guilty of it because I was part of it.
Yeah.
Like, I was part of a system that was perpetuating, you know, kids not really learning or reading a book or actually investing in something, but just getting the information at their fingertips right away.
You were obviously, I mean, my wife is a teacher, so I mean, for the most part, as far as like teachers that actually truly care, you know, and I think Chris, I think you care, you know, I think because we've had many talks about it and stuff like that.
Just kidding, I didn't care. Just kidding.
Your hands were tied so much, and then still trying to force the information out there. I can tell you for my wife, I mean, she's a fifth grade teacher. Well, now she's a resource teacher, but as a fifth grade teacher, how far behind? How many years it's actually taken those kids that were in the younger grades that didn't really know how, I mean, they had to learn on a computer and how far behind they are now.
Right.
And their reading and their math and absolutely everything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and at the end of the day, it was also left on the parent. And this kind of goes back to, you know, it was left on the parent to provide that education, to force them to sit there on that computer or sit there next to them on the computer to work their way through that assignment that the teacher basically put out there for them.
Yeah.
And how often did that actually happen? I mean, I could tell you probably never. I mean, you know, most parents are just going like, hey, sit in front of this computer.
Yeah.
Just like they do with the tablet and the phone and everything else and, you know, do it.
It's easy. It's easy to do.
Yeah.
The, you know, you're talking about feeling bad, you know, being a teacher, and imagine being the guy who makes the videos that steals the time. I have some interesting points on this. So I've been doing essentially social media, which sounds like such an old term for some reason.
It does, right? Why does it sound so old?
Social media sounds like the
MySpace.
Sounds like the email of, oh my gosh. Yeah.
Email.
But
influencer.
Right. Oh God, that's even worse. I've been an influencer.
So much influencing.
Oh, I've been you know, a professional internet sensation. Video provider.
Yeah, video provider.
For 7 years, right? Yeah. And so throughout that 7 years, a lot has changed as far as attention and as a, I guess, creator, editor, filmer, all of those in one. I've had to change gears so much. And I knew things were different. You know, all my videos were typically around 10, 15, 20 minutes or so. But I knew things were different as soon as TikTok got involved.
Yeah.
And it was just dancing. It was all that silly stuff. And then it was Instagram Reels and those YouTube Shorts and all of these things. But a lot of people just think, you know, oh, well, TikTok really caught on, or Instagram Reels. You know, I remember you and I, Eric, actually were talking about this when we were at one of the long range bays, and you were like, man, my stuff's just not performing. I was like, no, 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 look at the stats. Mm-hmm. Like, constantly losing people, all of these likes. See how many swipes you get until you get a photo on your main feed. You were like, dude, I just went through 12 videos on my main feed before I got my first photo. Now yeah. do it. I bet you it's 35 wow. before you get a photo. So what a lot of people don't know is social media, they have an objective too. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody knows that. Sure. But they use their creators and fuel them with cash to meet that objective. And so, I mean, I remember when my manager reached out to me, she was like, hey, I have a contract from Instagram. You might want to look at this. I was like, the Instagram?
Yeah.
It's like, they're going to pay me to be on Instagram?
It's like, and my dad was like, hey, the Google's called. Right.
yeah. So, and I was like, okay. So I looked into this, and this is when Instagram was kicking up their Reels.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a pretty absurd amount of money to just post Reels. No, you know, do this. It has to be this long. Talk about. No, it's just post X amount. And we'll give you all this money. It's like, what? And that's when I started doing the gun ones at yeah. JTAC. And I was like, well, shoot, I'll just do some of this. And so these platforms are also paying their people to make the content that they want to push into relationship. Mm-hmm. So, which is also interesting, but it's weird. I mean, YouTube is very specific on what they want, what they don't want, or maybe they're not specific enough. It's actually really gray, but yeah, you know, they yeah. take stuff down all the time, or they boost people up and it changes. But even now, the short form content, I always say I am the consumer because yeah. I'm addicted to my phone. I am on social media all the time. It used to be because of my job. I'm just researching what, but now, like, you know, a perfect example is like when I go to sit on the toilet, it used to be YouTube.
Yeah.
Now it's TikTok. And if TikTok's not doing it, go to Instagram Shorts real quick, like real quick content. I'm curious where that goes because it can't get much shorter.
Yeah.
How much do you
say? So true.
I'm going through 100 videos a day. I almost think it's going to do the opposite. I think it might, because you see podcaster becoming a thing.
Yeah.
I think it might go everything so short that it might be like, I want to listen to 5 people on the regular. Mm-hmm. That's it. Like, you just cut everyone out and you're like, these are my 5 people I really like. Might find a new one every other month or something. Yeah. And they'll listen to a 2.5 hour podcast.
Yeah. I think that's something that we actually saw on our channel is we started posting more long stuff, and we've actually noticed that people are watching for longer now. And so we're seeing that view duration kind of go up, but I think you're right. Like, there is I do it myself. Like, I want to listen to a conversation. I want to listen to people. I think it's mostly, I want to see someone be real. Like, mm-hmm. I want to see a real person, because these shorts and these reels are just all fake, or provide a false perception of what it is, or a grander perception of something than what it really is. So it's like, I can't get a real feel for what's going on.
Do you think that they are intentionally shrinking people's attention span?
Who is they?
As far as social media.
But
any of it, like TikTok, all of it. Like, I mean, with all the platforms, basically, you know, so TikTok comes along, and then obviously everybody wants to compete with TikTok, right? You know, so Instagram does it, YouTube does it, they all come out with it. They come out with all this short format video. Do you think that there's actually anything that's actually behind that? Like, as far as, like, you know, that they're trying to change as far as the human brain, as far as like a science experiment here. Are they trying to change the brain where you just can't stay focused for a longer period of time?
I personally don't think. I think you can only rev an engine so much up before you start to break or bend something.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, if the product's free, you're the product. But if you're the product, they want you to be there because you're the product. And so I think if TikTok was 3-hour podcasts instead of 15 seconds of truck backflip tires.
Then, on ramps.
Yeah, on ramps. Then every other social platform would be like, okay, we need to start paying creators to make 3-hour video, you know, instead of, but I think it's just what catches fire, and then it's, you know, start to pour the gasoline and light everywhere. It's always ketchup. I think the first time we ever saw a true imitation was Snapchat.
Yeah.
With stories. Mm-hmm. And then Instagram was like, I've got an idea.
Yeah.
Let's do stories. Right.
Well, I mean, before like, of that, it was Vines. Remember those?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Classic.
Vine would crush right now.
Yeah.
You know? It was just ahead of its time. I don't think, I mean, I could be wrong. Again, that's why I said, who is they? Because you always hear like, well, they're against us. Yeah, they? And I'm like, okay, who is that?
Mm-hmm.
Who is that? Because it's just my little pea man brain, mm-hmm. my little pea brain in here. Yeah. Just like, oh, I don't know. So but I think whatever's successful is you have to replicate it. But you see that in every parallel model of business.
Yeah, every industry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're taking advantage of a situation. I think that they stumbled across it and they're like, oh, this not only can make us money, but it can also make people stupid.
And
if we can make people stupid,
that's basically what I'm asking.
I see. Yeah,
they're
from that,
easily able to control them and feed them certain information. So I think they stumbled across it, and they're like, "Oh, this could be lucrative for us in multiple different facets. Let's push this."
So I think that it is yes to that what you're saying, but on the flip side of that coin, I think that also there is a huge movement of people who are digging deeper or utilizing the internet against people. So you know what I'm saying? So it's like, okay, well, let's just say the government influences social media to go in certain directions a lot. Well, then now you have content creators or people on the internet making memes about these corrupt government officials, and they're like, oh, we'll take it down. And it's like, nope, it's staying up. So it's now it's damaging the image of people who don't want to be in that spotlight
right.
mm-hmm. in that way. So I think we're starting to see, like, I even see, like, you know, some newscasts, like, mainstream media is dead, bro. Like, it's done.
It's
done. And so it's crazy to see how much the internet and how much people on social media will bash mainstream media through this outlet, you know what I'm saying? And they just don't stand a chance. It's like they're a dying breed.
But how are they still existing?
I don't know where they're getting their... How are they making money?
Yeah, I watch, like, MSNBC and, like, Joy Reid, and they spout off this stuff. Even Fox News, CNN, it's like... They're still around. Like, what is the draw? Like, what are they? Is it the older generation watching these?
It's the older generation.
Yeah,
I mean,
boomers.
I could tell you that my dad he'll put Fox News on all day long.
Yeah.
Like, he'll just have it on all day long. My uncle is a couple years younger than my dad, and my uncle will sit on Fox News all day long. Like, they don't change the station. Like, if they're not sitting on Fox News, my dad might jump on YouTube and watch a video or something like that. But for the most part, he's on Fox News all day long. So, I believe that it comes from he's 74, 73. So I think I think Fox News demographic, if you truly probably broke it down, it's either uneducated people not willing to research and try to get more information from somewhere else, or it's probably 55 plus.
Yeah. And now you can now it works to their advantage even more because you can take a clip and take something out of context and clip it out.
Oh,
and then
clip is it clip? Is that what you put in a gun?
Yeah. It's a clipazine. Yeah, you got it. That's right.
Oh, man.
You could take these clips, these clipazines, and you can spin it any way you want to, right? So, and that's you get that headline, right? Mm-hmm. So even headlines itself are misleading, and you just read the headline. But then they bury the most important part of the story at the end of the article.
Yeah.
It's like, why didn't you should have led with that, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I can give you case by case, you know, example of how they just bury things and they put up a big headline. And they do that with videos, too.
Yeah.
And it works to their advantage.
I think, though, like, to the flip side of the coin, to what your point is, I think that people are getting smarter to that. I think people are wanting to see something that is actual real.
Mm-hmm.
We've been, when you deprive the truth for so long, it's like water. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm thirsty, and I need to find out what's the truth and what's reality.
A short or real now is basically like a quick 10-second commercial.
Yeah.
I think for the majority of a lot of people, I mean, obviously the youth, they just sit there and, you know, stroll through it for hours. But for me, like, I mean, one of my favorite things is like, I'll jump on YouTube or whatever and see their shorts. And a lot of that pops up in my feed is podcasts.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like, cool. Yeah. I get a little clip. That's an interesting topic. Let me go watch that podcast. So, or listen to that podcast.
Great point. You don't ever see clips of TV.
No.
Yeah.
No, there's no clips of literally of ever.
There's no clips of TV. Never seen
You know what Roy's favorite reels are?
Oh, yeah.
The one with midgets where they involve him where they're like, it's like a midget going down a zip line, but it's like a clothesline. And
I already
like,
know where this is going.
Yeah, dude, it's so funny. I send those to Roy.
Yeah. Yeah. He laughs. He laughs.
Yeah. Reels are the new memes.
I get 30 of them a day from Eric.
Have you guys experienced on your end any type of backlash from any platforms or anything just based on even just the appearance of your content?
Not probably as heavily as some channels are.
Do you think about it?
Yeah. Like all the time.
Self-govern yourself a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's also a thing.
Yeah.
The fact that, you have to think about that.
Yeah.
That means something went right somewhere for them. Whoever them is.
Yep, right.
You know, I think about that too. So, I mean, because even, you know, some of the gun stuff, you know, all the people were like, yo, why don't you post this on YouTube? I'm like, bro, this is my whole career.
Yeah.
Like, I play with fish on the internet. Like, yeah. I have to do that. YouTube likes that, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I don't know. I mean, our largest of our support is not necessarily making money from being monetized on YouTube.
Right.
Like, YouTube is such a small dollar figure in our aspect. It's basically just driving people to come train with us or driving
the supporters,
the people that jump on a website and pick up a hat, pick up a t-shirt. We get quite a bit of that. So, you know, our supporters do great with that. So I think we didn't even try to monetize ourselves on YouTube for forever. Like we stayed non-monetized forever.
Yeah. Yeah, it almost feels like an underground movement. You know what I'm saying? Like I feel like with all of it, despite all the different categories, fishing, you know, news, gun stuff, outdoor stuff, there is this underground movement where people are just fed up with being kept in the dark about everything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, 100%.
And people want to have their own opinion. I think that's why, like, you've got Joe Rogan and specifically like Sean Ryan. Like, Sean Ryan was only like a year and a half old and now he's at over 2 million subs, and it's because he's bringing people on who talk about all these different categories, but it's, you know, it's somebody who's a real person and they talk about their emotions, they talk about things that real people talk about, you know.
Yeah, that for me was kind of my journey in researching all this stuff from all the different topics. Even as a teacher teaching ancient history, like the way that I taught it, it's a joke, like after researching the truth. Because we've been lied to for so long, like you said, every institution is completely corrupt and constantly feeding us lies. So yeah, it is almost like an underground movement where people find alternative avenues of finding information, because it's like, well, I'm just going to believe the opposite at this point. Like I'm constantly being lied to, so I'm just going to start thinking of the counter. What is the complete opposite of what they're saying? Mm. And you're pretty much over the target at that point. Right.
Then you'll start getting banned or whatever, because then it's like, all right, well.
And you're over the target.
Yeah.
Look at Alex Jones. He was the first one that was banned off of Twitter, off of every single platform, and now he's back. And this is an example of how culture is kind of swinging back around, right? Mm-hmm. This is now kind of being accepted again because, again, he's painted as an evil person, as a cuckoo, as a crazy person for researching and delving into all this stuff. And now he's kind of being vindicated.
Because all of his stuff is coming true.
Yeah, all of it's coming true, yeah. He's been saying it for 28 years.
The frogs are gay.
Yeah, the frogs are gay.
They're making the frogs gay.
And then,
laugh.
Dude, there's this actually, that quote where he says that, and then it shows this scientist in another document, he's like, and actually the frogs have turned gay. And it goes, Alex Jones is like, really losing his mind.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's just one example.
Well,
and for me, it led me on this whole journey of like, I've been lied to about what I was taught in college about history. It's like, now I have to relearn all this stuff. Where can I go? What outlets can I research to, you know, get an accurate view of what actually happened? You know, like take ancient pyramids, for example, right? So I was told for the longest time that it was farmers and slaves that used wheels and ramps and logs to get these like 2-ton blocks. Like
I think
one
it was
block
like 2,000-ton block. It's ridiculous.
Right.
Like
it's absolutely ridiculous. It's like that. There's no physical way that could have happened. But that's what I was taught in college.
It was the aliens.
Bro, so here we go. I'll tell you right now.
This may be another episode.
Specifically the pyramids. There's an obelisk, and you know what obelisk is.
It's a thing is in DC.
So it's like that long pointy tower in Washington
DC. Monolith.
Looks like a penis.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Got
it. Know what that is?
So there, they in Egypt, there was a monolisk. Or whatever the frickin' the pointy needle tower. the pointy needle tower. They had one, and it was made. It was carved out of this pure granite, and the granite that it was made in was the hardest granite that's on the earth. And what's crazy, it was made out of one solid piece of stone. I think it weighed like something astronomical. It was like 6,000 tons or 600,000 tons. And to kind of put it in perspective, there was a huge. I think it was a huge piece of artifact or something like that that was moved here in the States. And it was like, I think it took like a certain amount of trucks and thousands of man hours and this much money and 5 months just to move something that weighed only half of what that obelisk weighed. Yeah. So we're saying that these people moved it on these logs.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's like, how did they get that thing up?
Yeah,
and I think that like Joe Rogan and some other his other guests, they talk a lot about sound resonance. And how frequency had a lot to do with some of the ancient ways of making these huge structures. And, you know, like the other thing is like, that as far as history goes, that is covered up that you kind of mentioned about with the pyramids, I think are linked together. But I think that giants were a lot more involved in world history than we realize, right? So like, you know, in all these religious texts, the Bible specifically, because that's the one I read, but like you have David and Goliath. In you know, Genesis 6, it talks about all of these giant beings that were in existence that died before the Great Flood. And so we're seeing now, like in there was a video that came up in Afghanistan, and the Taliban actually had this dude on for an interview. It was a flipping giant, dude. Mm. I don't know if it's true or not, but it was literally a Taliban news interview. And they had brought in a giant that was from the Hindu Kush, or I think the Tora Bora Mountains, and has him on for an interview. And it's not like this guy looks like Andre the Giant. No. Like, his facial structure is completely different. It's insane. So it's like...
There's a video of this?
There's a video. I saw it on freaking Instagram, bro.
Wow.
It's AI, bro.
Yeah. I know. Dude, that's another scary thing.
Man, we should have started with that.
Dude.
Did you hear about what's going on with Taylor Swift?
Wait, what happened?
I saw on Twitter, dude. My Twitter is crazy.
Yeah, so there's pictures of Taylor Swift, and she's nude, but...
Like, crazy.
But they're AI-generated.
And they're crazy.
Apparently, Brandon has seen these photos.
Did she look like a man? She's I don't want to say she's suing, but she's, like, pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pissed. Wow. I also saw... This is just something that they're out there with different new AI stuff that's going on. I saw it's actually a popular Twitch streamer guy. He got a phone call from one of his buddies from his number. You know, it's like you calling me. It says Eric on my phone. Answer it. It's your voice saying, hey, can you text me the address? This is what happened to him with one of his buddies who's also a big Twitch guy. He was like, what? Yeah. He was like, you're on your way? What? That's out of nowhere. He said, just text me the address. Like, all right, cool. Hangs up. He texts the guy. He's like, hey, did you just call me? Are you on your way? I'm confused. He didn't call him. It was AI.
That's
somebody
wild.
Was able to make his phone or, you know, use his phone number to call and then also use his voice.
What?
Yeah. How crazy is that?
Yeah.
So that tripped me out where it was like, oh, man, he could have just gave his address away to God knows who.
Yeah.
Or whatever, you know, but just think of any circumstance where, you know. Like you call your bank or whatever.
Dude, Elon Musk just had that sex. He just posted the on X about the Neuralink thing.
Yep. I saw that.
I didn't see it. Was it?
Can you talk about the premise of Neuralink? Because I'm not too familiar with it in general.
So just from what I've heard Elon Musk talk about Neuralink is essentially, I think it has something to do with connecting to your phone. Yeah.
And you can connect your brain to the internet, essentially.
Yeah, and you can access information that you would on the internet, almost like chat GPT in your mind.
Remember the Matrix when he's like, hey, I need to learn how to fly a helicopter? And he's like, yeah. And then he does the keyboard thing. And then
let's go.
Trinity's like, does her little eye flutter. And she's like, yep, I'm good to go. Learned how to fly a helicopter. That's essentially what Neuralink is.
Yeah. So Elon Musk's whole purpose behind Neuralink is that the AI is going to advance so far beyond humans that we have to join with the AI in order to beat AI.
Mm.
There's a number of different theories about this. So once AI achieves its goal of conquering the Earth, it'll just fly away instead of terminating humans, like you would see with... Yes, because it's going to explore new life forms to actually conquer.
Why wouldn't they just conquer humans? We're already here.
No, because they see humans, this is one theory, but AI sees humans as ants, basically, just there, right?
Yeah.
You don't need to go out of your way to stomp out the ant pile. Just leave and go find a different area to go spread and gain more knowledge. Because that's what AI does. It's a learning computer. It constantly gains more and more information. Mm. So once it's contained and once it's consumed all of the information that it can on Earth, there's no point in it being here anymore.
What's it going to fly?
Well, it would just take control of any spaceship that is run by a computer.
We'll have to talk about UFOs on the next one, but I think that's what it's going to be flying.
Yeah.
We've got some tech, and we could talk about this on the next episode, but we've got some tech that I think is man-made that was originally non-human that's been reverse engineered, and this is what they're talking about in Congress right now. And that's what's crazy, is the fact is, like, I never would have thought in my lifetime that we'd have congressional hearings with people who are whistleblowers saying, yep, this exists, yes, there's non-humans, and we have non-human craft, and it's been reverse engineered.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is, most of society doesn't know what's going on, or just like, oh, yeah, whatever, completely oblivious. Still can't pay my rent, right? Yeah. Still can't put gas in my car, so that doesn't mean anything to me. But obviously, people like us have a kind of an interest in it and want to explore it even more. Again, search for truth. People want to know the truth. I just don't trust anyone from our government talking about this stuff.
Yeah.
Because they have motives, right? Just don't trust politicians, because they have, at the end of the day,
interests.
They're bought and paid for, and they have a narrative that they need to spout.
Truth might be so crazy that it's going to be hard to believe it's truth.
Dude, yeah. that's usually what it sounds like. 100%. I think the truth is too crazy. It's crazier than the fiction. The truth is crazier than the fiction. And that kind of wants me to lead off with this last story. And I think it would be good as a caveat into the next episode. But whenever David Grush, so I don't know if you watched the congressional hearings that happened with David Grush and the whistleblower. Did you watch it?
Monster truck backflip.
That's what I got for you, man.
Yeah. That's never going
Clip-a-zines.
Away.
Yeah. So essentially what happened is there's a part of the hearing where he said that he was asked, has any human been harmed or killed because of UAPs or their involvement with UAPs and all this stuff? And he said, yes, right?
Oh, he said yes.
He said, yes, there has been. And there is a whistleblower that has been, or actually it was a journalist. He was on Redacted, but he talked about how the military had got a UAP. It was a non-human craft. They handed it over to the private sector, right? This is around the time of Eisenhower. And when Eisenhower left his presidency, he said, I've lost control of the military-industrial complex.
Right,
like,
I remember
so
that.
So, like, the military needs to get control back of the private sector. Essentially, they give this craft over to the private sector. Private sector says, okay, we'll take a look at it. We'll try to reverse engineer it, yada, yada, yada. They reverse engineer it successfully, but they hand the craft back to the United States government, says, we couldn't figure it out. This is back in the 60s. This is back in the 60s. So they started flying and making all of these. They have the technology. They broke the technology in the 60s, according to this whistleblower. And so they've been flying this stuff all over the place.
But not a government entity
not
now?
Unbeknownst to the government, because the government thinks that the private sector couldn't figure out how to reverse engineer this craft.
Wow.
So now they're trying to do, the government's trying to figure it out, and they have their own programs. And so that's why you see a lot of overclassification, because a congressional member, a senator, can't go and be like, hey, I need to get access and clearance. It's top secret. I need to get access because I'm a politician. He's like, no, that's a private sector thing. It's outside of government, right? Mm. So what ended up happening is there was an incident that happened, I think 2004 is what he said, but there was a UAP that was flying around, and this company had its own crash retrieval team for their own craft that are doing these crazy maneuvers, this new technology, to be able to retrieve it if it crashes, right? And it's this like special ops type black ops team. Well, what's crazy is there's one incident, JSOC, or Special Operations Command, was also tracking this craft flying around in the air, and they thought it was an actual UAP. So it crashes. Private sector sends out a team to go get this thing. JSOC sends a team to go grab this thing as well. They meet in the same spot. Firefight ensues. Two JSOC dudes get killed in the firefight.
Wow.
Now, I don't know what happened afterwards or who was able to retrieve what, but now you have the possibility of a private sector team killing military members over equipment and technology that has been held back from the United States government. And that's why I think a lot of these politicians are really trying hard to try and find out more about what's going on with the UAPs, because the government is not in the loop. Wow. Totally.
That's even more scary.
Yeah.
Well, but it makes me believe it, I question that a little bit because of the underground military bases.
Yeah.
Those are funded by the government.
True.
By the U.S. government. So if they're funded by the U.S. government, they have to be doing something super secret down there where they have to, A, go that far down, and two, we have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah. Right?
So they're doing something secret that they don't want anyone to know about. We mentioned offline about the Phil Schneider interview. If anyone hasn't seen or heard about Phil Schneider, definitely research him.
Yeah, we'll talk about it next episode. But if you do the research, you should know what's going on.
Yeah, so talks about all that. So, you know, it could be that they're both involved in it. And maybe it shifted. Now it's more the private sector that's in control of it, and the government's kind of just outside the loop. I don't know. There's a whole lot of theories, and it's like it's really connecting all the dots.
Yeah.
And it's fun to connect dots of who's involved, who's not. This person is saying the same thing about this in two completely different time periods.
Yeah.
And two different civilizations. And it's like being a detective. You're trying to piece together what's happened when you don't have all of the information.
Wow.
What do you
good
do?
Stuff.
Well, we just watched monster trucks doing it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I was up on that.
Just get her mind melted on TikTok.
I hear all this stuff. I'm like, Jimmy, secret Jimmy's got a freaking UFO in his barn. And it's like, what do I do? It's like, I don't know, just go play.
I'm going to go spearfishing, bro. I'm going to go spearfishing.
I don't know.
Jeepers.
Good spot.
Well, guys, thanks for coming on. We're going to definitely do another episode and talk about UAPs and UFOs and also about giants and some other things that we want to talk about next week. But for those who don't know, in February, we were actually doing a giveaway. So, Roy, do you want to give some details on that?
No, you can.
Okay,
no,
cool. Sounds good.
Yeah, denied.
So really, really simple for your way to enter. Jump on the website. Just do any kind of purchase that you want to. Doesn't matter. It could be a sticker. It could be a class. It could be our lifetime membership. For every $5 that you spend is going to enter you into, get you a spot, basically. All right. First place is going to be a White Foss PVS 14 Gen 3.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Boys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa.
So yeah, if you have a class and it's $5, every $5 gets your name put in the bucket. That's a lot of names in the bucket for buying a class, right?
That's sick.
Yeah. So every $5, it doesn't matter if you do a sticker. These types of, you know, giveaways, they happen all the time on the internet. So you guys should probably be relatively familiar with them. But purchase anything on the website. First place will be PBS 14, like I said, Gen 3, White Foss. Second place will be upper receiver that I'm putting together. Mm-hmm. So it'll be a complete upper receiver that I'm putting together. Don't know exactly what I'm going to do on that yet. So might do something a little spicy. I don't know. So we'll figure that part out. But it'll be a pretty cool upper receiver. And then third place will be a ghost chest rig with a mat pouch. So some pretty cool giveaways there. Little way to give back to all you guys that have been supporting us for so long, and for you new listeners that are going to be out there looking to support us.
Yep.
Sick.
Yeah.
So we'll be doing the end of the giveaway time period, so when you can actually try and get your name in the bucket, is February, the end of February, and then we'll do the drawing on March 6th, and we'll do it here on the show. So at the end of the show on March 6th, which I believe is Wednesday, we'll be announcing the winner.
We'll let Chris name the winner.
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, nice.
Do you want me to do a special accent?
Yes,
no,
I do.
I'll actually get a remote control
Chris,
truck.
Chris, you can have the tickets. Chris, give me your accent real quick. before we end.
What accent?
It doesn't matter. Dealer's choice.
Japanese.
Japanese?
Oh, God. Oh, you picked the hardest one. Oh.
Oh, man, yeah, you're going
down. Hello
there.
Oh, that's
keep terrible. Going. All right, you got to keep going.
Hello, all the... Battle One Hatchet. It's out there.
Jeez and rice, that was hilarious.
That's probably the worst.
That was horrible.
Note, for the people who are audio only, yeah, you should pick up your phone or nearest tablet and watch the video because this room is sick.
Yeah.
It is so it sick. Is.
Thanks, man.
So,
I appreciate it.
So we'll have to do a complete video on the entire room. So right now, most of the camera angles are pretty close up. But this is obviously our first episode. So we're, you know, I'm still playing with cameras and my camera obviously doesn't have enough lighting behind it. But hopefully by next week I'll have some better camera angles set up and everything like that. It is a pretty sick room. We're still working on it. We're gonna add a few cool extra things in here. So
yeah, we'll just have Chris's voice and Japanese accent recorded. So whenever you want to,
please no. It's gonna be a different accent each week, and so I have to do some preparation. I guess
we should have Chris do the voicemail for our business phone.
Yeah.
So real quick before we close out, obviously, Chris, it doesn't matter where you find, they try to find you because they can't find you because you're not on the internet.
You'll never find me.
But Brandon, if you want to
give your shout out.
Just jigging with Jordan. You know, just jigging.
If you just Google it, you'll find him.
You'll find it. Find it where you want to find it. Weather Channel every Sunday night, 9 p.m. No, I'm kidding.
That's right. That's right.
I think they stopped there in the show. I have no idea.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know. Random people text me. They're like, you're in the hotel right now.
Oh, no.
I don't know. But really, YouTube is kind of my thing. Everything else is just off of YouTube.
Yeah, so nice. if you're looking for some fun entertainment while you actually learn how to do something at the same time, so spearfishing and all that kind of stuff like that, check him out.
No monster trucks, unfortunately.
That's Chris's lane.
Yeah. Maybe I'll get into that. I'll dabble.
Chris, didn't you used to review videos?
Yes, I used to do 60-second movie reviews on Instagram.
That's great.
Damn, see that. Dude.
Yeah, so that was actually very difficult because I had a lot of thoughts and I had to condense it down.
Can you do it in a Japanese accent?
Yeah, right, yeah.
Can you picture Chris and his thoughts? How much he puts behind things?
It was almost impossible to do all that.
I would love to be in that room and it's just like, let me make this an exciting one. My name is Chris, and this is a review about this movie.
All right, one last thing before we cut out. Chris, stand up so everybody can see your shirt, or back up a little bit. So what is it? History buff.
All right, so Chris is going to have a cool shirt next week as well. Great. Yeah, so.
Both accents and new shirts for this show.
You did it.
any final words, guys?
Nope, it was a pleasure. I enjoy talking about
this stuff. I can't wait for next week, dude. Yeah. I can't wait for next week. All right, guys. Well, hey, make sure you guys go subscribe to the channel. Thank you for checking out our first episode, our first true episode here on the Hatchetcast podcast. Make sure you guys go follow all those social media outlets that we are on, as well as go check out Jigging with Jordan on YouTube. And we will see you guys on the next one.